This is Coastal Community Church of Westport, Washington podcast, who, affiliated with Village Missions, are changing lives with the love of Christ and the power of His Word, with Pastor Tim Sander.
Verses 1 through 6, so if you have your Bible handy there this morning, would you please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. The Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Lord, bless to our heart this morning Your holy word. Speak to us, guide us, teach us, and bring us joy just from your word. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What's the purpose of life? Now let me phrase that. What's the purpose of a Christian's life? Some would say give the glory to God. Some would say, in fact, we had a discussion on this a few weeks ago. We have a men's group that meet on Tuesday, and we have a discussion about this. And one of them said, no, it's to fulfill the Great Commission. To fulfill the Great Commission. Some say, well, it's to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor. Some say it's to practice forgiveness. I believe you could come up with many, many things, but I think if you turn to this book in the Bible, turn to this passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, I think it clears up our purpose for us and helps us to understand what God wants from us. And what God wants from us is very simple. He wants us to walk worthy of the calling that we have received. Listen, to walk worthy, to live worthy of the calling that you have received. Someone has said it this way, to walk worthy is the external evidence of a person truly saved by Christ. Walk the walk. You've heard it, you know, talk the talk, walk the walk. Well, do you do that? Do you talk the talk and walk the walk? Or what we see here on Sunday morning, will we see that on Monday? It's important that what you are in here is in here every day, not just on Sunday, so that, you know, you can... Some people, they drive to church, and on the way to church, they argue. They're fussing. You know, over breakfast or whatever, they're fussing. And as soon as they get out the car and walk in, big smiles, everybody's, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk. You see, God has placed a call in your life. And He wants you to walk worthy. Why? He wants you to walk worthy because if you walk worthy, it will please God. He wants to be pleased with your life. He's not standing up there looking down on you and say, I caught you. He doesn't have to say that. You know it yourself, don't you? So God wants us to walk worthy of the calling that He has given to us. And God wants us to please Him, and it pleases Him when we do that. And pleasing God results in influencing others. And influencing others for good, influencing others for the gospel. Because the life that we live is linked to the truth that we follow. If I say to you, I'm a Christian, then when people look at me, what should they see? When they look at you, what should they see? When you please God, it results in influencing others for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I do not live in a manner that demonstrates the truth of the good news, we don't please the Lord. And I think also in that, we don't have great boldness. If I am not a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm not walking with Him, if I'm not in my Bible, if I'm not having prayer, if I'm not loving those around me, whether they love me or not, then I'm not pleasing God, and I don't have any boldness in my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pleasing God. Walk worthy of the Lord is what God has called us to do. And if my life does not please the Lord, then what I say with my lips may have no lasting persuasion and effectiveness for those who hear me speak. If I don't please the Lord, then those I'm around will not please the Lord, and they will not inherit eternal life if they do not really see Christ in me. I'm thinking back many years, and I shouldn't tell you this. Nah, I shouldn't tell you that. As a young man, I'm not saying I always pleased the Lord, and I know you don't always please the Lord, but as a young man, I didn't please the Lord very much. I pleased it to me. Selfish, antagonistic, wanted my way. None of you have ever done any of those things, have you? And that's not been in your nature. But it was in my nature. You see, we want to please the Lord because we can truly desire others to want to please the Lord. And if they don't see that I please the Lord, why should they please the Lord? I mean, if they say, hey, you know, that Bill Reed, he says he's a Christian, but you know what? I saw Bill get angry with somebody yesterday, and boy, did he really let him have it. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to a man out in the churchyard, and for some reason he was angry with me. And so I said, well, that's it. So I said, I'm gonna walk away. So I turned around and started walking away, and he yelled at me, don't you dare turn your back on me. I just kept going. But it didn't work because he ran and caught up with me right outside the church door, and he just told me off in every kind of word you could think of. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, this is one of my deacons. This is one of my deacons. What a testimony. Oh, I was right. He was wrong. I'm kidding. More and more, we need to become conscious of the fact of that. What I say and what I do not say and what I do and what I do not do speaks volumes to those around me. You know, if you're a Christian and the people know that you're a Christian, or if you've told people you're a Christian, you've got a tag on you. And people are watching you. Oh, they don't come up to you. They won't come up to you and they say, Lon, you know, I'm watching you, buddy. I know you told me you were a Christian. And I'm just keeping little notes down here. And if I see something you've done, I'm writing it down. They don't say that to you. And they don't write it down. But mentally, they do. It's important how you live for the Lord. And before us this morning, we have an example of a worthy life. And that call to live a worthy life, a life that pleases the Lord, a life that brings Him glory, a life that reflects God's character, a life that's worthy of the name Christian, a life that pictures the Christian walk as it should be. There was a man by the name of MacArthur. He's some little old pastor down in California somewhere. I don't know. You've probably never heard of him. But he said this, quote, The believer who walks in a manner worthy of the calling with which he has been called is one whose daily life corresponds to his high position as a child of God and a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. Does your daily life correspond to that high position you have as a child of the King? Before us this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we have an example of this life, an example of conduct befitting a true believer. And if I want to live a life, and if you want to live a life that's worthy of the Lord, then I want you to park yourself in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through... Well, actually a whole chapter, but Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Saturate yourself with these verses and allow the Holy Spirit to have input into your life. For it's through the Holy Spirit that you and I can live a life that will be pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to His plan, pleasing to His purpose, pleasing to His goals for our life. So, in this little book in Ephesians 4, verse 1, we see that life that is befitting for a true believer. Notice with me in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul, he says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." First of all, Paul's situation. Paul is a prisoner for the simple reason that he loved the Lord and he worshiped the one true God. He was a prisoner because of his witness for the gospel. He was a prisoner because his testimony no doubt irritated the Jews. And he was a prisoner on purpose. God's purpose. You see, you're here on purpose. God saved you for a purpose. How many of you believe that? Yeah. God saved you for a purpose. And that truth, if you understand that truth, that gives purpose to your life. Purpose to do what God wants you to do. Purpose that when you see someone in need, when you see the opportunity to help them because maybe God put them in your path just for the opportunity that you will have to help them. Jill Briscoe said, "We are blessed to be a blessing and not just to be blessed." And I think God is pleased when He blesses you and you turn around and you bless someone else. I'm going to tell you, if you will bless others by your life, the way you live your life and what you do, how you handle yourself, how you handle your finances or whatever, if you do that and you please the Lord, I'm going to guarantee you the Lord's going to bless you. Don't misunderstand. I mean, I'm not saying if you give $1,000 to the Lord, God's going to give you $5,000. I didn't say that. But I did say the Lord will bless you. There are many ways the Lord can bless you. Amen? He could give you health. Which is more important, health or wealth? Health. He could give you that. He could bless you in so many ways. He could bring people into your life that you could be an encouragement to, that you could maybe have a Bible study with. I'm thinking of a young man right now that was in started coming to our church and I led him to the Lord, but, you know, actually it was the Lord, not me. And he went on to, well, right now he's in Thailand as a missionary, serving the Lord in Thailand with his wife and three kids. I got my chief back there that keeps me on them. But it just, you know, and I think of, every once in a while, I just think about that. And I think I had a small part in that. Not a big part, just a little part. But makes you feel good, doesn't it? God used you to help somebody. And that somebody is being used by the Lord. It's wonderful. So Paul, the situation, he's a prisoner. And there also, he was a prisoner who testified to the truth of Romans 8:28. That we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. In other words, what he's saying here is that in my life and in your life, God many times is working behind the scenes, ensuring that even in the middle of mistakes and tragedies, that goodwill will result for those who love Him. God can take the bad things in our life and make them good. And God can use the bad things in our life to make them good. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." And that brings me to Paul's attitude. He says, "I'm a prisoner for the Lord." And in verse chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "I'm a prisoner for the sake of the Gentiles." Paul didn't consider himself a prisoner at the hand of others. No, he thought he was a prisoner of the Lord's. He was the Lord's. And there's a lesson in that for me. And maybe there's a lesson in that for you. If you study this, you see that Paul doesn't pray to escape his jail cell, but he simply asks God to make him a useful vessel while he's in prison, that he might be useful to God. And here's a thought for me and for you. How far are you willing to go to obey the Lord? How far will you go to obey the Lord? How much of my comfort and my pleasures and my security am I willing to sacrifice if necessary to help others? How much opposition am I willing to face? Sometimes we will sing that hymn, you know, "We've laid our all on the altar." But are we willing to lay down our possessions, our plans, our careers, our retirement, and maybe even our lives for the Lord? Are we willing to do that? Can we do that? Will you do that if God called you to do that? Are we willing to go anywhere, and even places where we might face harm, or even imprisonment, or maybe even killed for sharing the gospel? Now that probably won't happen to many of you. That, you know, but you might face opposition. Let me share something I read, and I want to share it with you. It's from a book by David Jeremiah. He's another one of those California boys. There was a knock at the door. The wife went to the door. She opened the door. And there was a man standing there. He said to her, "Do you have a regular meeting in your home?" And it was a city official who asked this. And she said, "Yes." She was the pastor's wife. She said, "Yes." "Do you say amen?" "Yes." "Do you pray?" "Yes." "Do you say praise the Lord?" "Yes." She was then informed by this city official that the Bible study that's being held in their home was in violation of a local ordinance. 4 days later, the couple received this written warning that listed unlawful use of land. Unlawful use of land. And warned them to stop religious assemblies or apply for a major use permit, a process that would have cost them thousands of dollars in legal and other fees. You know when that happened? Do you know where that happened? Who said that? You're right. When? 2009. There is a growing trend that requires Christians to be tolerant of everyone and everything, and requires no one to be tolerant of Christians. If I'm going to walk worthy of the Lord, and if you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we must realize that we will battle the forces of Satan. Because if I'm going to live for the Lord, and if you're going to live for the Lord, let's face it, it's going to outrage the enemy. If I'm going to give a testimony for the Lord, if you're going to give a testimony for the Lord, if you're going to witness to your neighbor, if you're going to try to help your neighbor, if you go out of your way to do something loving for someone else, that enrages the enemy. It really does. And he will do everything he can to cause you harm. But greater is he that is what? Say it.
In you.
Than he that is... Yeah, so push on. Because you're in the hands of the Lord. Paul was in the hands of the Lord. And he pushed on. Now notice his purpose. He is the Lord's. He is where the Lord wants him to be. That doesn't mean that it's enjoyable. It doesn't mean that his sovereign Lord has just left him, abandoned him. That doesn't mean that at all. It means that his sovereign Lord has placed him there on purpose. Sometimes God's going to put you somewhere on purpose. You might not like being there. In fact, you might say, I wish I was somewhere else. But God puts you there on purpose. Because God has a ministry for you, and only you can do that ministry. That's why He has you there. Somebody else couldn't do that. You have to do it. And sad for you if you don't do it. I read about a missionary. It was a woman. She didn't have much education. But she really felt that for some reason that God wanted her to go to the mission field. She applied to a mission board, China Inland Mission, if I believe correctly. And they turned her down. She had no education. But she was determined. And somehow she made it to China. And when she got into China, she met this missionary woman. And this missionary woman said, I don't know what to do with her. She has no education. You know, she's just... I don't know what to do with her. And this little girl who made her way to China said to her, I know I'm not the one that God called to do this, but whoever it was that God called wouldn't come, so I'm here. That little girl with no education became famous for her work for the Lord. Because she did what she felt God wanted her to do, and God honored her. And yet she could say, I'm not number one. I'm not the one that was supposed to do this. I'm just simply number two. I don't know who number one was. But she received great blessings because she was willing to believe God and trust God. And take a step of faith with God. And God, she was a humble girl, and God blessed her. Walk the walk. He's where the Lord wants him to be. Why is he there? Well, let me give you two reasons. The first reason, he is there to witness. God's purpose for Paul was to win as many of those jailers to the Lord as he could. In a way, actually, he was not their captive, they were his. I could kind of imagine it. Sergeant of the guard, yo! Give me Private Mike. He's going to have duty today with Paul. Oh, no, Mike says. Not him. Please, not him. Let me go. I'll do anything. I'll wash dishes. I'll peel potatoes. Don't let me go to be with Paul. Please. And yet Mike goes, because that's his duty. And he's chained to Paul. And Paul looks at him and Paul says, what's your name? Mike. Well, Paul, I mean Mike, have you ever heard of Jesus? Oh, I don't need that. I don't want it. Okay. Do you mind if I write a letter while you're chained to me here? Well, I guess it'd be all right. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the brethren in so wherever. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. And he writes that letter. And this guy, Mike, has to sit there and he has to listen to the whole thing. Somewhere along the way, he really listens. And God gets a hold of him. And he comes to Christ. Why? Because Paul is there on purpose. Paul had a plan. God had a plan for Paul's life. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you need to look for God's purpose for your life. Every day. God has a purpose for your life. And God wants you to fulfill that purpose. It might be something very small. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be important. The world doesn't have to know about it. Only you and the Lord. It might be doing something like, hey, Lon, I got a friend over here that needs some help today. Could you possibly, I know it's out of the way, but could you go to see them and maybe help them get some groceries? Lon says, I'll be glad to. There's a witness for the Lord right there. Just not saying anything, but doing something. It might be any number of things. It might be that somebody will say to you, I've got a friend in the hospital. You don't know him very well, but you've met him. Would you do me a favor? I know you're a Christian. Would you go talk to them? I would appreciate it so much if you would. And you would say, oh, sure, I'll be happy to. God's purpose for you. Every day it might be different, but God has a purpose for your life. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, look for God's purpose for your life. Paul did. And because he did, many came to Christ. You know, when Paul was in prison, he didn't sulk. He didn't get angry at God. He didn't try to find fault. He didn't make excuses. He didn't hate those who oppressed him. He stood on God's purpose. He knew that God had him there on purpose. So Paul practiced in the power of the Holy Spirit not to carry grudges. There was a pastor. He was, as a young man, very young man, he was mistreated when he was in the fourth grade by the superintendent of the school. And the reason he was mistreated was because the superintendent and this boy's dad had a disagreement. And the superintendent couldn't take it out on the father, so he took it out on the son. Now, I understand that because when I was in college, I had a professor who didn't like me. He didn't like me because our eschatology was the exact opposite. And he knew where I stood. And he treated me accordingly. So I understand how this young man felt. The young man grew up. Years go by. He becomes a pastor. And in his first pastorate, he heard that his old antagonist was seeking a job with the school in that area where he was now serving as pastor. And he knew. He said, boy, now all I got to do, I just got to go tell my friends on the school board about this man. And they're not going to hire him. They won't hire him. So he walks out to his car and he opens the door. He gets in his car and he's getting ready to go see the board members when, bow, it hits him. He says, here I am trying to represent my Lord who was nailed to the cross. And here I am carrying a grudge against this school superintendent. And he realized that it was humiliating for him as a Christian to hold such a grudge. And he went back into his house and he knelt by his bed. And he said, Lord, if you will forgive me this, I will never be guilty anymore. And then he said, that experience and that promise was the best thing that ever happened in my life. You have a grudge against anyone today? Or do you lack forgiveness? You know, it's easy, isn't it, when somebody hurts you to want to hurt back? Right? First impulse, hit back. Lasting impulse, you'll be sorry. Because you not only have to deal with what you did with that person, there's somebody above called God who loves you. And perhaps He put you right there so that you would respond in a Christ-like manner and show that man or that woman the Lord Jesus Christ through your actions. Amen? And you know, Paul was a witness and it was successful. In Philippians 1:13, he says his bonds in Christ was manifested throughout the whole palace. And in Philippians 4:22, he said, in fact, it reaching through Caesar's household. Not only was it God's purpose for Paul to witness to those guards, to Caesar's household, it was His purpose to write. Paul wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon while he was in prison. Paul was a very busy man. He was always on the move. He was always looking to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if we'd have these precious letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, if Paul had not been put in a position that made it possible for him to answer questions that so many from various areas needed answered. In prison, he had the time, right? He took advantage of the time he had to do something for the glory of God by writing these letters. Now, if it had been me, I'd have been, well, I don't know. God just put me in this crazy, shabby, dirty, filthy place. And I'm His man. I'm His guy. I love Him. And look what He's done to me. No, he didn't take that attitude. He said, God has me here on purpose. And so he wrote these letters. The blessings of prison. One, his captors were evangelized. Two, his colleagues were emboldened. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, it tells you that. And three, his critics were exposed. And four, his Christ was exalted. I don't know what time I'm supposed to stop, so. Paul was and is an example of what it means to rest and trust in the Lord in difficult situations. Saturate yourself in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Read it and read it and read it. Do you see from this, if you don't, then I failed. But do you see from this how important your attitude is as you face daily challenges? How you respond? As you read Philippians 4, 1 through 6, ask yourself, is Paul worried? No. You remember what Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says? How many of you know what it says? Stop looking at it. It says, you got it? Okay. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Why did he say that? Because he practiced it. That was part of his life. To totally trust God with his daily living. Do you think he'd lost his faith? No, he was doing everything he could to share that faith with others. Do you think he questioned God's wisdom in this situation? Now, come on. Has there ever been a time when you questioned God's wisdom in a situation that you found yourself in? Of course. Of course you have. Have you mumbled and grumbled? I have. I really have. I remember once when I was in college. We didn't have any food. We didn't have any money. In fact, we had a Volkswagen and two kids. And the Eleanor said, I don't have any money. I said, well, I don't have any money. She said, well, the kids got to have go to school. They got to have milk. And I forgot what she made them for a sandwich. We didn't have anything. I think she made them a peanut butter sandwich. I went out to that Volkswagen and turned the seats upside down. And I found, what was it, 15 cents? A dime. I found a dime. That's how much it needed. I gave the dime to my son, Mark, and I said, this is for you and for Laurie when you get to school to buy milk. They could buy milk for a nickel. That's all we had. I went in the house. I went into the bathroom. I shut the door. I got down on my knees, and I just gave it to him. Stupid on my part. But I was angry. I was mad. But you know, God is so loving and so gracious, He didn't take it out on me. He knew how I felt. So I've questioned the Lord in some situations. But I want to tell you, I stand before you today, and I can tell you that in all honesty, God has never failed us. All that we've been through as pastors, your pastor could tell you the same thing. God has never failed us. Do you think Paul was concerned about himself? No. One person said, worry. How many ever worry? I do. Come on. I do. I worry. You know what my life verse is? It is be anxious for nothing. That's my life verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In spite of that being my life verse, I can worry. One has said, worry is a form of atheism, for it betrays a lack of faith and trust in God. I said, ooh, that hurts. But it's true. I don't want you to misunderstand me. Let me close with these things. Being a Christian does not spare you from problems. Being a Christian does not spare you from problems. But as a Christian, you should use your problems, one, to help you to mature. Sometimes the Lord can mature you through your problems, whatever they may be. Because in your problems, you learn to turn to Him and believe Him and trust Him. Two, God sometimes allows you to have problems to help you to be a light to others as they watch your life and how you respond to the problems you have. I'm thinking right now of a couple in our church that are not young. I was amazed because maybe you heard about it. It was a year ago, 2 years ago. I can't remember. Time gets away. When you get to be my age, you know, time just gets away from you. So don't get to be my age. This couple's granddaughter and their granddaughter's son disappeared. The car was found out here in Olympia. In the water there. They never did find the girl. They never did find the boy. Found the boy? Okay, they found the boy. He washed up somewhere. That couple That Christian couple, I admire them. They didn't give up on God. They didn't get angry with God. They didn't blame God. They just kept walking with the Lord. Hurt, yes. Crushed, yes. But they didn't turn away from the Lord. And you could see growth in them through this horrible experience. And they're still with us today in church, and they're still glorifying the Lord, and they're still having problems. And in spite of their problems, they're there with the Lord. Think of another man. His wife, a year ago, retired from working for the government. Something happened. They got all confused and messed up, not her, but the government did, about her retirement. She did not receive a single retirement check for over a year. And because of it, they lost their home. But their attitude was priceless. They didn't blame God. In fact, they're stronger in their faith today than they were when it happened. Because they knew that God had a purpose for their life. And they were walking in that purpose. Even though they didn't understand everything that was happening, they still put their faith and trust in God. And they, by the way, both of these couples are light to others. Because others look at them and they say, wow. And then to help us understand how to comfort others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, read it. God sometimes will use you to be a comfort to others. And the reason you can be a comfort to others is that you've already been through something. And you walk through it, now you can help this other couple walk through it. Paul was a missionary, he was an evangelist, he was an author, he was an apostle. But most of all, he was an example of what it means to walk the walk and talk the talk. Close with these words by Francis Schaeffer. He said, quote, "We cannot expect the world to believe that the Father sent His Son, that Jesus Christ claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of the oneness of true Christians." I like that. They're not going to believe us. They're not going to listen to us if they don't see the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we can come to You. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the many precious blessings that we get from walking with You and trusting You. And God, we know that on purpose You have allowed us in some situations to go through the trials and the tribulations that will draw us closer to You and make us stronger in You. So help us, Heavenly Father, to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk in a way that our lives will be pleasing to You and a testimony to others. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Let's all stand.